Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Hadith class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. We are still continuing the kitab known as Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, which is better known as Al-Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. Currently, we are on page 11 at Hadith number 7. We are in the past two lessons, we had done the first six Hadith. The last Hadith we had done was quite lengthy. But the hadith we are about to do is even lengthier. So, for those who don't know, we are still continuing with this kitab, and this is the first chapter which deals with the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is where we are now currently at this moment in time. For those of you who are new to the radio, if you have any questions, you can send it in via Skype, the Skype name being Ummah Radio. For those of you who want to download the kitab, the download link is available on Ummah Forum. There is a thread called Monday Aqeedah and Hadith Class. In there you will find the link to download the PDF of this kitab. For those who want to follow just via audio, you can do so. There's no harm upon you. So then, without any further delays, we can start continuing on with this hadith number 7 where we had stopped last. Bismillah walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. So hadith number 7. حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا جميع بن عمر بن عبد الرحمن العجلي إملاء علينا من كتابه قال أخبرني رجل من بني تميم من ولد أبي هالة زوج خديجة رضي الله عنها يكنى أبا عبد الله عن ابن لأبي هالة عن الحسن بن علي قال سألت خالي هند بن أبي هالة وكان وصافا عن حلية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن أشتهي أن يصف لي منها شيئا أتعلق به. This hadith is reported by Sufyan ibn Waqi', who narrates it in turn from Jumay' ibn Umayr, or ibn Umar, as you can see the footnote, who in turn reports it from Jumay' ibn Umayr ibn Abd al-Rahman al-Ajli, who imla'an alayna min kitabihi, meaning he read this hadith out to us from his book. So he didn't narrate it from memory, but rather he narrated it while reading it from a kitab wherein he had written it down. So like for us, where we are reading this hadith from a book itself, likewise he narrated the hadith but narrating it via his book. Okay, who said that a man from Bani Tamim, from the offspring of Abu Hala, the first husband of, or rather the previous husband of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha, Abu Hala was the husband of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her, and she had children from him obviously. So here you'll see, he says this narration, it is this person from the offspring of Abu Hala, he was known as Abu Abdullah. And he in turn narrated it from the son of Abu Hala. Now the name is not mentioned here, but the ulama have mentioned that this child's name is Hind ibn Abi Hala. So his name was Hind ibn Abi Hala. So he was the son of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha from Abu Hala, the previous husband of Hazrat Khadija radiyallahu anha. So he was, so to say, the, as you would call it, a stepson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He in turn narrates this hadith from Hazrat Hassan ibn Ali, the son of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu anhu, who said, I asked my uncle Hind ibn Abi Hala. So Hazrat Hassan radiyallahu anhu, he said, I asked my uncle Hind ibn Abi Hala, who was وَكَانَ وَصَّافًا عَنْ حِلْيَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He was a person who always used to describe Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. A wassaf, meaning someone who describes abundantly, meaning when somebody wanted to know the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would go to Hind ibn Abi Hala. So he says that he used to describe the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I wanted that he should describe Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to me so that I could have something that I could hold on to and remember about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the physical description. So, faqala. So, Hind ibn Abi Hala radiyallahu anhu, this is what he had to say while describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فخما مفخما. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was honorable and others held him in great esteem. يتلألأ وجهه تلألؤ القمر ليلة البدر. His face shone like the moon on the 14th night. So the 14th full moon, when the moon is at its brightest and fullest, this is how the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to shine. Now the Arabs, they were in the habit that they would use the sun and the moon as likenesses for things when they want to praise it to the highest degree. But so this, it is for this reason that they describe the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam always like the moon. But in reality, there was nothing like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the sun, nor the moon, nor anything else for that matter. But the closest we could get to make people understand is by saying the 14th full moon, when it's at its most brightest and fullest. So in any case, he continued, he says, أطول من المربوع وأقصر من المشذب. أطول من المربوع, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was taller than the average man. وأقصر من المشذب, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was shorter than as you would say, a very tall person. So again, as we learned through all the previous ahadith, there is a middle path, not the one extreme nor the other. So slightly taller than the average man, but as you would say, moderately tall, not excessively that a person stands out as being too tall. So he continues, he says, عظيم الهامة رجل الشعر إن انفرقت عقيقته فرقها وإلا فلا. He says that the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was moderately large. رجل الشعر, the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was slightly wavy. We did this previously in the other hadith about that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was straight with a slight wave in it, not very straight nor very curly. So he says, إن الفرقت عقيقته فرقها, that when the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to naturally take the shape of having a middle path, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep his hair in that manner with a middle path. وَإِلَّا فَلَا, but other than that, he would not go out of his way to make a middle path. So, let's say you washed your hair, or your hair is loose, and now it naturally falls to the two sides, and then there's a middle path. Then in that case, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep it in that manner, but he would not go out of his way to take a comb and comb his hair to the two sides in order to make a middle path. This is what he is saying here. He says, يجاوز شعره شحمة أذنيه. The hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed his earlobes. So, إذا هو وفره, when he would grow it to the length of wafra. Now here, as we did previously, there are three lengths of hair: wafra, limma, and juma. And we, in the previous ahadith, you would have seen there is a difference of opinion with regards to what length is which one. Is wafra till the ears? Is wafra past the ears? Is wafra till the shoulders? Which one is what? There's a bit of difference of opinion on that point. So here he says that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go further beyond the earlobes when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam grew it to the level of wafra, or rather would grow it along. So this is during the growing stages. It's going until it must reach the shoulders, but currently it's just past the earlobes. He continues on, he says, Azhar al-lawn, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a whitish complexion. Now here, we did previously as well that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of a wheatish complexion, white with some redness, and not pale white. So here when he's saying Azhar alone, this year is also to be understood in that same meaning. Of a whitish, white creamish complexion, but not, you'd find more white being used than brown. Because when you think of white, then you have a cream and white that they fit in together. But if you're going to say brown, then brown fits more in towards black. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more white than dark. Therefore, you'd find more often like this a term used like whitish complexion. But like we did previously, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was of a wheatish complexion. Light with a wheatish complexion. He says, wasi' al-jabin, that the forehead of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wide. Azajul hawajib, that the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were curved. So not straight lined eyebrows, but in a perfect curve. He continues on, he says, سَوَابِغَ فِي غَيْرِ قَرْنٍ, that the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were full but separate without any join. So it wasn't a unibrow, but rather it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had two completely separate eyebrows. بَيْنَهُمَا عِرْقٌ يُدِرُّهُ الْغَضَبُ, that between the eyebrows of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a vein ran on the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this vein would expand when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would become angry. Then he continues on. He says, "أَقْنَى الْعِرْنَيْنِ لَهُ نُورٌ يَعْلُوهُ يَحْسَبُهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَأَمَّلْهُ أَشَمَّ." That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a prominent nose, and the nose of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had its own luster and light, which made it appear large to the person who does not look properly. So if you don't look properly, because of the light which used to shine from the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person would confuse the light and think that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has a big nose. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply had a prominent nose, not a big, out of proportion type of nose. He continues on, كَثَّ لِحْيَتِي, that the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was thick. سَهْلُ الْخَدَّيْنِ, the cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were smooth, meaning it wasn't fat, protruding type of cheeks. Dali'ul fami, his mouth was wide. Mufallajul asnan, there was a slight gap between the front teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Daqiqul masruba, كأن عنق, okay, دقيق المسربة. مسربة we had previously done as well, that it is that line of hair on the chest, from the upper chest until the navel. So here he uses the term دقيق المسربة to say that this hair was a thin line of hair, to show that that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have a big hairy chest. So anyway, continuing on, كأن عنقه جيد دمية في صفاء الفضة. He says it is as though the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the neck of a statue in its pure, shining, silvery complexion. This year again is further continuing on the complexion, the color of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the nur, the luster and the light that would, as you can say, be emitted from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the neck of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to appear as though it was made of silver and clear and clean, without any hair on, as though it was the neck of a statue. Then he says, "Mu'tadilul khalqi," that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was proportionately sized, meaning there was nothing which was larger than it should be or smaller than it should be. He says, "Badinun mutamasikun," that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was fully fleshed and the joints were all proportionately, properly in its proportion. You didn't find one arm being big or things like this. Everything was proportionate. He then says, Sawa'ul batni wa sadri, that the stomach and the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were equal. Equal in what sense? Equal in the sense that it was, as you can say, in one line, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not have a fat protruding stomach. This is what he's implying here. He says, A'ridu sadri, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was broad chested. Ba'idu ma bayn al mankibayn, that and broad shouldered as well. Dakhmu al karadis, the joints like the elbows and knees and so on of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were large. Anwarul Mutajarrid, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would remove his clothing, his body would shine. As we mentioned, the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shone, his neck shone. So likewise, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would remove his top, his body would shine as well. Mawsulu ma bayna lubbati wa surrati bi sha'rin yajri kal khatti. He says that mawsulu ma bayna lubbati wa surra, that there was connected between the neck and the navel a line of hair which ran like a thread. Again, the masrubah, which he's referring to show again, it was a thin amount of hair that ran from the upper chest right down until the navel of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A thin line of hair, just like that, straight in a straight line, as though it was a thread. He says, "Ariya thadiyaini wal batni mimma siwa dhalika," that the rest of the stomach and chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were hairless apart from this masruba. Then he continues and he says, "Ash'aru dhira'aini wal mankibain," that the forearms and the shoulders, wa'ali as-sadri, the forearms, the shoulders, and the upper chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had hair on it. So apart from the masruba, the, as you can say, from the center of the chest downwards, they were, the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was hairless apart from this masruba. But above that, at the top upper chest and the shoulders and the upper arms, there Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had some hair. He continues onwards and he says, Tawilu al-zandaini, that the forearms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were long. Rahmur rahati, that the palms of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were wide. Shathnu al-kaffaini wal-qadamain, that the palms and the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were fleshy. Sa'ilu al-atraf, the fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were moderately long. Aw qala sha'ilu al-atraf, yeah, there's just a difference of opinion. Is it sa'ilu al-atraf or sha'ilu al-atraf? In both cases, the translation is the same, meaning the fingers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were moderately long. It's just the Arabic word sha'il or sa'il that there is a difference of opinion about. He continues on and he says, Khamsanul akhmasain, that the soles of the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were deep. Masihul qadamain, and the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were smooth. Yambu anhum alma, it was so smooth that the water would flow away from the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a result of its smoothness. He then says, Idha zala zala qala'an, that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk and lift his legs, he would lift it with vigor. Yakhtu takfiyan. Okay, yakhtu takfiyan wa yamshi hawnan, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk while leaning forward slightly. This we have previously mentioned in a number of ahadith which has passed about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to incline forward slightly. But then he continues and says, "Wa yamshi hawnan," and he would walk softly meaning he wouldn't stomp around and walk loudly and things like that. He would walk softly. ذريع المشيتي إذا مشى كأنما ينحط من صببين. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam walked swiftly without rushing, and he took wide steps, and all of this he was walking in this manner while inclining forward slightly and walking softly, and in this manner that it looked as though he was descending from a slope. وإذا التفت التفت جميعا. When he would address someone, he would turn to him entirely. Not turn his head only or speak over his shoulder or anything like this. But rather, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed the person behind him, he would turn entirely around, face the person and then address him. خافض الطرف. The gaze of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was always low. نظره إلى الأرض أطول من نظره إلى السماء. That the gaze of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was longer towards the ground than what it was towards the sky. This is again continuing on, showing that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk around, he would keep his gaze towards the ground and would not be looking all over the place. He then says, "Jullu nazaruhu al-mulahaza." That most of the times, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would look in a light manner, meaning not stare. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's gaze would pass over something, look slightly, and move on. Not stand, pause, and stare and stare and stare like that. He says, "Yasuq ashabahu wa yadburu." Yasuq ashabahu. He would let his companions walk in front of him. Now here's a bit of the ulama comments on this point about why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walk behind and not walk in front. And the ulama give various meanings, or rather various interpretations, and they say that part of the humbleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he never put himself out there as being, I must be in front, I must be the leader. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, as you would say, the leader of everyone, but still, it was the humbleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he would let the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum walk in front, and he would walk behind. And then lastly, he says, ويبدر من لقي ويبدر من لقي بالسلام. And he would hasten to greet whoever he meets with salam first. So when, as soon as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw somebody, he would hasten to greet that person first and would not wait for that person to greet him first. That is the end of hadith number 7. There's still a couple of ahadith left in this chapter, so we can move on. Hadith number 8. He says, حدثنا أبو موسى محمد بن المثنى قال حدثنا محمد بن جعفر قال حدثنا شعبة عن سماك بن حرب قال سمعت جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه يقول كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضليع الفم. So Abu Musa Muhammad ibn al-Muthanna, he narrates this hadith from Muhammad ibn Ja'far, who narrates it from Shu'bah, who narrates it from Simak ibn Harb, who said, I heard Hazrat Jabir ibn Samura radiyallahu anhu saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's mouth was wide. Ashkal al-ayn, the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam were wide. This is one interpretation. Another interpretation of the ulama, they say ashkal al-ayn refers to there was some red lines in on the white of the eye of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they are these two different interpretations. Then he says manhusul aqib, that the heels of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a little flesh on it, meaning not fat, bloated heels. Now that's actually where the hadith itself ends. So here, Shu'bah, the narrator, he said, Shu'bah now wanted to find out what is the meaning of this hadith, because like we did previously, the words used in the hadith is of a difficult nature. which is not understood to just everybody. Therefore, it was necessary for Shu'bah to find out what are the words, the meaning of the words used in the hadith. So he says, قَالَ شُعْبَةَ قُلْتُ لِسِمَاكَ مَا ضَلِيعُ الْفَمِ. Shu'bah said, I asked Simak ibn Harb, what is the meaning of ضَلِيعُ الْفَمِ? So he says, عَظِيمُ الْفَمِ, meaning having a large mouth. And when we say large here, we don't mean like having a big mouth, this type of meaning, but rather the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was perfectly proportionate, moderately large. He then says, قُلْتُ مَا أَشْكَلُ الْعَيْنِ. He said, I then asked, what is the meaning of أَشْكَلُ الْعَيْنِ? So, قَالَ طَوِيلُ شِقِّ الْعَيْنِ. He said, it means that it is wide-eyed. The slit of the eye was long, meaning which how we translate it as being wide-eyed. He then says, قُلْتُ مَا مَنْهُوسُ الْعَقِبِ. قَالَ قَلِيلُ لَحْمِ الْعَقِبِ. I then asked, what is manhus al-aqib? And he replied, it is having a little flesh on the heel. So like how we mentioned, that the heels of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a little flesh on it, and were not fat, bloated heels. That is the end of that hadith. We can move on to the next hadith as well. حدثنا هناد بن السري قال حدثنا عبثر بن القاسم عن أشعث يعني ابن سوار عن ابن إسحاق عن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في ليلة إضحيان وعليه حلة حمراء فجعلت أنظر إليه وإلى القمر فلهو عندي أحسن من القمر. هناد بن السري, he narrates this hadith from Abthar ibn al-Qasim, who narrates it from Ash'ath, who is known as Ash'ath ibn Sawar, who narrates it from Abu Ishaq, who narrates it from other Jabir ibn Samurah radiyallahu anhu, who said that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi laylatin idhiyanin, that on a very brightly moonlit night, wa alayhi hullatun hamra, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wearing red garments. فَجَعَلْتُ أَنظُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَإِلَى الْقَمَرِ. So I looked at him and I looked at the moon. فَلَهُوَ عِنْدِي أَحْسَنُ مِنَ الْقَمَرِ. And I take an oath by Allah that he was more handsome than the moon. That's the end of that hadith. The chapter still continues, so we can read the next hadith as well, which is حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع قال حدثنا حميد بن عبد الرحمن الرؤاسي عن زهير عن أبي إسحاق قال سأل رجل البراء بن عازب رضي الله عنه أكان وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل السيف؟ قال لا, مثل القمر. سفيان بن وكيع narrates from حميد بن عبد الرحمن الرؤاسي, who narrates from زهير from أبو إسحاق, who said that I asked that a man asked Hadrat Bara ibn Azim radiyallahu anhu, that was the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam like a sword? So Hadrat Bara radiyallahu anhu replied and said, no, in fact it was like the moon. So the reason for this is, ulama give their various explanations for this. They say that a face, a sword, is something which is long and sharp. So, and the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like this. While with the moon, it is more of a round nature, not round as in a round head like we did previously in the other hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face was roundish, but was not round. So here, he was saying that the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like the moon. It was roundish, and which gives off a jolly expression, so that it's not having a sharp, long face. This is basically what is the meaning of this hadith here. Continuing on with the next hadith, he says, حدثنا أبو داود المصاحفي سليمان بن سلم قال حدثنا النضر بن شميل عن صالح بن أبي الأخضر عن ابن شهاب عن أبي سلمة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبيض كأنما صيغ من فضة رجل الشعر. So this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud al-Musahifi, مصاحفي whose name is سليمان ابن سلم, who narrated from نضر ابن شميل, who narrated from صالح ابن أبي الأخضر, who narrated from ابن شهاب, from أبو سلمة, from حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, who said that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم was of a white complexion as though he was molded from silver, and his hair was slightly wavy. That is all things which we have previously heard in the other ahadith as well, with regards to the complexion. Like I mentioned previously, that white with a bit of red, and or you could say of a wheatish type of complexion, but not a pale white. And here likewise, كَأَنَّمَا صِيغَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ, this silver is again referring to both to the lightness of the skin color of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but likewise it also refers to the nur, the luster that of and the light of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he ends it by saying that the hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was slightly wavy. Continuing on to the next hadith, he says, حدثنا قتيبة بن سعيد قال أخبرني الليث بن سعيد عن أبي الزبير عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال عرض علي الأنبياء فإذا موسى عليه السلام ضرب من الرجال كأنه من رجال شنوءة. This hadith is reported by قتيبة بن سعيد, and like we have previously mentioned, Qutaybah ibn Sa'id is one of the very famous narrators of hadith. Although here in this narration it says Qutaybah ibn Sa'ad, but it's actually a typing error. It's Qutaybah ibn Sa'id who narrated the hadith from Imam Layth ibn Sa'ad, who narrated from Abu Zubayr, who narrated from Hadhrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, عرض علي الأنبياء. The Anbiya, the Prophets alayhim salam, they were presented to me. Now, whether this took place on the night of Mi'raj or whether this took place in a dream, there is a bit of a difference of opinion on this point here, because there was the Mi'raj, which definitely took place, and then there was these additional dreams which was similar to the Mi'raj, which also took place. Some people, they mistakenly took it and assumed that the Mi'raj took place in a dream, but in fact it took place physically in reality, and this additional stuff also took place in a dream, but the Mi'raj itself as we know it was real and physical. So in any case, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the Anbiya alayhim salam, they were presented in front of me. فَإِذَا مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ ضَرْبٌ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالِ شَنُوءَ. That Musa alayhi salam, he was a thin man as though he was one of the people from the Shanu'a. Shanu'a is a Yemeni tribe. So Musa alayhi salam, he resembled this tribe of Shanu'a. They are of a average type of nature. They are between thin and fat. So they not, Musa alayhi salam was more to resembling these type of people, these Yemenis. ورأيت عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام فإذا أقرب من رأيت به شبها عروة بن مسعود. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and I saw Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and the person who I saw with the most resemblance to him was Hazrat Urwa ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. وَرَأَيْتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مَنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبَهًا صَاحِبُكُمْ يعني نفسه. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and I saw Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the person with the most resemblance to him that I have seen is your companion. Meaning, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself resembled Ibrahim alayhi salam the most. ورأيت جبريل alayhi salam فإذا أقرب من رأيت به شبها دحية. And I saw Jibril alayhi salam, and the one who resembled him the most was Hazrat Dihya al-Kalbi radiyallahu anhu. And when Jibril alayhi salam himself used to come down, he used to take on the form of Hazrat Dihya radiyallahu anhu. So in any case, that is the end of that hadith. We can move on to the next hadith as well, because the chapter is almost finished. There are only just about two hadith left. So Continuing on, the hadith is حدثنا سفيان بن وكيع ومحمد بن بشار المعنى واحد قال أخبرنا يزيد بن هارون عن سعيد الجريري قال سمعت أبا الطفيل يقول رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وما بقي على وجه الأرض أحد رآه غيري قلت صفه لي قال كان أبيض مليحا مقصدا. This hadith is reported by Sufyan ibn Waqi' and Muhammad ibn Bashar. Al-ma'na wahid, meaning both of them narrated the hadith and the meaning of the hadith is the same. Qala, akhbarana Yazid ibn Harun, who narrated this hadith in turn from, both of them reported from Yazid ibn Harun, from Sa'id al-Jurayri, who said that I heard Abu Tufail saying. Now, Abu Tufail radiyallahu anhu, his real name was Hadrat Amir ibn Wathila al-Laythi. He was the very last Sahabi to pass away. So therefore, he said, Sa'id al-Jurayri said, I heard Hadrat Abu Tufail radiyallahu anhu saying that I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and there does not remain anyone on the surface of the earth other than me who has seen him. So meaning, at this time when Hadrat Abu Tufail radiyallahu anhu narrated this hadith, the rest of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu had passed away, and he was the last Sahabi alive, the last person alive who had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He then said that, Sa'id ibn al-Jurayri, he said to Hadrat Abu Tufail radiyallahu anhu, قُلْتُ صِفْهُ لِي, I said, describe him to me. Then he said, كَانَ أَبْيَضَ مَلِيحًا مُقَصَّدًا, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was of a whitish red complexion, like how we mentioned previously that when white is used, it's meant in this white with redness in it and not pale white. So here you see he actually mentioned the reddish white complexion, and muqassadan, of a medium build. So again, everything in proportion, average, medium sort of build, not neither too tall nor too short, not thin nor fat, like that, of a medium build. That is the end of that hadith. And the last and final hadith of this chapter here is حدثنا عبد الله بن عبد الرحمن قال حدثنا إبراهيم بن المنذر الحزامي قال حدثنا عبد العزيز بن أبي ثابت الزهري قال حدثني إسماعيل بن إبراهيم ابن أخي موسى بن عقبة عن موسى بن عقبة عن كريب عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفلج الثنيتين إذا تكلم رؤيا كالنور يخرج من بين ثناياه. This hadith is reported by Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman, who narrated from Ibrahim ibn al-Munzir al-Hizami, who narrated from Abdul Aziz ibn Thabit al-Zuhri, who narrated from Ismail ibn Ibrahim, who is the nephew of Musa ibn Uqba, who narrated from Musa ibn Uqba, who narrated from Quraib, who narrated from Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to have a slight gap between his front teeth. And إِذَا تَكَلَّمَ, when he would speak, a light used to emit from between his upper two teeth. So, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to speak, meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he used to open his mouth, then you would see the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore you would see this light which used to come out from between the teeth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the last and final hadith on this chapter of the physical description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is the end of hadith number 14 on page number 16. Next time, inshallah, we will start with the second chapter, which deals with the Khatamun Nubuwa, the seal of prophethood. That chapter itself will have further hadith in it, but for now, on this point, we will end with this hadith insha'Allah, and we will continue again next time. So until then, we say wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.